I'd like to welcome our Dominican Republic missions team back home safe and sound. Amen. I was watching them on Facebook. They had an awesome time of ministry and sharing their hearts and sharing their lives. Amen. We were praying for you. Good things, right? Good things. Jesus things. I want to remind you again about the Holy Spirit class on February 19th. Jesus gave this instruction to his disciples on the Mount of Olives right before he left. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But wait, there's more. You've heard that before, haven't you? He said, go and preach the gospel to every creature, but he said, I want you to go into Jerusalem. I want you to wait until you be endued with power from on high. And Acts 1:8 said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. It's the power to be a witness. Paul would instruct us later on that God has 9 spiritual gifts that he wants to anoint you with. He's called us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, but you and I are natural. He wants to anoint us so that we'll be supernatural. Supernatural. When you read the Bible, you see that the disciples had signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Ghost following and confirming the preaching of the word. People were getting healed. People were getting saved. Lives were being touched and changed and transformed. And God wants to anoint every one of us with the power to do that. Supernatural power. He wants to do it so that when we come together like this collectively in church, we don't have to just come here and pray about healing. We don't have to just come here and talk about how good God is. We can see how good God is. He wants to manifest those gifts and that power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit through you. And Trina wants to tell you how in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, if you haven't been through one of these classes, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to come to that class because there's more. Jesus met in the upper room with the disciples on the very first day of his resurrection. He breathed on them and he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And they did. But he said, there's more. Because 40 days later, he said, you need something else. You need a baptism in the Holy Ghost. So if you got questions about it, if you say, I want more of God in your life, if you want more power to affect the people around you, your loved ones, those that are lost, you need the Holy Ghost. People have asked me for years, they said, Pastor Ken, do you have to be baptized in the Holy Ghost to go to heaven? You know what I tell them? I have to be baptized in the Holy Ghost to go to Walmart. Why? Because God said there's an anointing and a power on you that can be on you through the baptism of the Holy Spirit to enable you to be a powerful witness for Jesus Christ. I remember when I first read those words in Scripture, I said, God, if there is something that you have that I can get that will help me to be more effective to reach my loved ones and those around me, I want everything that you have. Now, it's going to cost you a little something to go to the class. You're probably going to have to get up a little earlier on Sunday morning. It's from 9 to 9:45 on Sunday mornings, and it starts in 2 weeks, okay? Don't go to heaven and say, God, there was more that you had for me. I could have been more effective in reaching lost people, but I just couldn't be bothered. Man, sign up for that. Do they have to sign up or just show up? Just show up. You guys are not good at signing up anyway. The whole world's that way. You know, you send out wedding invites and say, you know, sign up. They just show up. But show up. Glory to God. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning for the reading of God's word? I'm excited. We're going to take in some church members. I got about 20 minutes left to preach, but we'll get her done. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning. I'm going to start a series about how to become a warrior for Christ. A warrior for Christ is not a terrorist. Well, I take that back. You are. But you're only a terrorist to the kingdom of darkness. You're only a terrorist to the devil. You know, we're not going to make ourselves religious fanatics. That's not God. That's not Christ. in any religion or any form. Amen. Warriors for Christ is what we're called to be. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. I want you to look there with me this morning. I want to read verses 10 through 20 real quickly, and then we're going to pray. In the King James, it says this. It says, "Finally, my brethren." And I tell people all the time, when a preacher says that, it means absolutely nothing. It's like tennis score. They say, you know what love means in tennis? Absolutely nothing. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." How many of you know you need the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Put on the whole armor of God. Put on everything that God has that will help you to stand against the wiles of the devil. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, the news is trying to make you believe that half of the country is on fire and in an uproar. It isn't. It's just a couple little pockets here and there of some people that just can't get over the fact that we live in a democracy. But our battle is not against them or them against us. The reality is that the devil is the only enemy that any of us really have when it comes right down to it. Verse 13 said, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all," make sure you do all that you can. A lot of times we pray and we talk to other people and we want them to do things and we want God to do things, and God will do things, but He will not do the things that He's called you to do. So it says, "having done all to stand." Stand, therefore. Sometimes you're going to run up against the enemy and his powers and his darkness and his warring against your life, and you're going to feel like, "I've done everything I know to do. I've done all I can." Well, God says when you get to that point, don't give up, don't give in, don't quit, don't sit down. He said, "Stand." Sometimes you just got to steer across that river at Old Slough Foot and say, "You know what? I can't make a step forward, but I am not backing up. I am going to stand here until, like Moses standing at the Red Sea, God's going to part a way and He's going to make a way. And I don't know how He's going to do it, but He's going to come through, because He comes through every time and He's promised to never leave me or forsake me." So stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. John the Apostle wrote this. He said, "Brethren, don't think it strange when these fiery trials try you in life." He said, "It's happening to every one of your brothers and sisters all over the world." Why? Because the enemy's throwing darts at us. And that's why you need to do what verse 17 says. "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. Don't go fight the devil swordless. Don't take on hell with a water pestle. You'll lose. It says, "praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." And that is a capital S. You know what else the Holy Spirit will help you to do when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost? He'll help you to pray how you ought to pray. He'll teach you how to pray, and He'll pray through you, the Bible says, even when you don't know what to pray for. And it says, "and watching thereunto with all perseverance and all supplication with all saints." Those are some big words. It means just cry out to God for yourself. Cry out to God for the people that you love. Cry out to God for everybody that you know. It says, "and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." That's the Apostle Paul speaking. You say, "I'd share Jesus with people, but I'm scared." Well, welcome to the crowd. The Apostle Paul was scared. He asked people to pray. He said, "Pray for me that I'll have enough courage and I'll be bold enough to stand up and tell people about Jesus." And if Paul needed prayer for that, you and I need prayer for that. You need the Holy Ghost too. Peter denied Jesus in front of one little maid in the fire in the dark in the wee hours of the morning. to the point that he cussed Jesus and said, I don't even know the man. But 50 days later, he'd stand up anointed of the Holy Spirit and he'd tell the whole crowd, you crucified the Lord of glory and he is the Savior of the world. And I don't care what you think about it. The Holy Ghost will give you some boldness and fire down in your bones. Verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul was a jailbird. He was an apostle, but he was also a jailbird. Spent most of his adult life in jail, Brother Steve. Preaching the gospel to the Caesars and the governors and to anybody else that would listen. And that's what God wants us to do. Would you bow your heads, please? I ain't going to make you stand up the whole time and preach. Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now and thank you for your love. Thank you, God, in a world of darkness, in a world that constantly is preaching negativity and darkness and hopelessness, that we have the light of the world to light our path. That you, God, who never leave us nor forsake us, when we cannot carry ourselves, you promised to carry us. You said to cast all of our care and burdens upon you because you love us and cared for us enough to die for us, Lord God. Father, reach out into this sanctuary and touch every heart, every life, and draw us to yourself, I pray. And I ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about being strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6 said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. God wants us as Christians. We start out, the Bible said, we are born again. We become infants in Christ, babes in Christ. We need to desire the sincere milk of the word that we can grow. But how many of you know God doesn't want us to stay spiritual infants for our entire Christian life? He don't want you to stay carnal. He doesn't want you to, you know, to be saved and on your way to heaven and still acting like a brat. Sooner or later, spiritually speaking, you've got to grow up in life. And God wants us to become warriors in his kingdom. The very first thing that we need to do after being born again of the Spirit, you got to get born again. I hope you know that by now. You do if you've been around here the last couple weeks. Coming to church won't change you. Reading your Bible by itself won't change you. Just doing religious things won't change you. You got to be born again of the Spirit of God. How do I get born again? You ask God to forgive you of your sins past. You tell him, God, I'm now not going to live life my way. I'm going to do it your way. I ask you forgiveness. Come into my heart and life. Change me from the inside out. And when you do that in sincerity, you will be born again of the Spirit of God. But that's just the beginning. The next thing you need to do is read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. I said the next thing you need to do is read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. Because as soon as you get born again, the devil's going to try to deceive you and take you down 15 different roads. Nobody wanted to talk to me about religion before I really got saved. After I got saved, everybody and his brother showed up on my doorstep, and everybody with a different word and a different direction and a different idea about how to serve in God. I'm telling you, Jesus is the Word. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. You need to read this book. Pastor Ken can't lead you there without the book. No other person can lead you there. Church can't get you there without the book. You need the book in your heart and in your mind. But the very next thing you need to do after that is what I want to talk about today. You need to become rooted and grounded and planted in a local church body, a local church family. Well, I'm glad all this filled in there after a while. I looked back here one time, it was empty all the way back to the back two rows. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're here. If you're really born again, if you really begin to read God's word, the next thing you're going to realize is that God did not call me to live for him or to serve him or to do the will of God by myself. He wanted me to get attached to a church family somewhere where I can grow, where I can love, where I can serve the purposes of his kingdom. Ephesians 4:11 says this, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and we become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We're supposed to grow up and have church and learn and grow together and serve together until after a while, nobody can tell us from Jesus himself. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Over the next couple weeks, I'm going to share what it means to be a mature Christian. Some of you are going to be pleasantly surprised. Some of you are mature Christians. Many of you are very mature Christians. Not because I say so, but because you meet the biblical definition of what it is. And we've cried, you know, I'm not perfect and I'm human and we got all of our excuses and I make mistakes and all this stuff. We use that as an excuse not to grow up in Christ. But I'm here to tell you, God expects you to. We always have new babies around here. The church is growing. If it doesn't grow any other way, you know, it's growing that way. And my goodness, are they beautiful. We have some of the most beautiful children that have ever graced God's planet right here at New Life. And it's awesome when they're little babies and we love them and we nurture them and we nurse them and we take care of them and we provide everything for them. But you know, you don't want to be doing the same things when they're an infant. You don't want to be doing that when they're 30 years old. Some of you know that because you got some 30-year-olds that are just about in that condition. Sooner or later, you got to let them grow up. Sooner or later, you have to get a hold of life and mature. You know what's wrong with half of the world today? They're little babies in grown-up bodies. We are to attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And I want to say this to you, church. A healthy church should be building an armory, not a nursery. This is not a pacifier, thumb-sucking place for us to keep you happy while you pretend to be religious. Yeah. This is a place where we are all supposed to be growing up, becoming strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, putting on the whole armor of God so that we can go take hell on. Because hell is after your kids. Hell is after your family. Hell is after you. Hell is after your health. It's after your finances. It's after our country right now. Has been for quite a while. Hell wants you, but you know who wants you more? Jesus Christ. You know how Uncle Sam says, I want you? Jesus Christ wants you to be a soldier in God's army. Get that shield up there. Get that sword in your hand. Put that army on, that armor on. Get the helmet of salvation and stand up and be somebody for God. Because thousands of people are being lost because we're playing while hell is burning. Somebody said, you know, Nero fiddled while Rome was burning. And they can't prove that. You know, it became a tradition. But I can tell you this. Leonard Ravenhill said this, and it burned in my heart. He said, I can tell you this. I don't know if Nero was fiddling while Rome was burning, but I can tell you the church is fiddling while hell is burning. That's right. We are caught up in so many infantile baby-like things that don't matter, a hill of beans, and people around us are dying in droves without Christ, without hope, without God, going to a Christless eternity. We need to change that, church. We need to grow up. And a part of that is you need to get in a local church body, and you need to be a functioning part of that body. And I'm preaching this morning because we got a group of soldiers that are signing up here, that literally, no pun intended, some of them are soldiers. But they are signing up to be a member at New Life. And you know that's what church membership is. If you understand it correctly, you're signing up for God's army. You're saying, I used to be a child and I used to do childish things and I used to frittle and waste my life away, but now I'm going to sign up for the army. I'm going to enlist. I'm going to show up. I'm going to put up. I'm going to be a part of what God's doing in the earth, and I am going to help redeem every lost person that I can in Jesus' name. Yeah, it's good preaching whether you like it or not. To become a member of our church, first of all, you've got to be born again. Just putting your name on a membership roll does not guarantee heaven. I've told you before, I find out sometimes that I got church members and I don't know them until I read their obituary. They were a member of New Life Christian Ministries and I've never seen them. I don't know their names. They were of the Baptist faith. What does that mean? That means probably I never went to church a day in my life, or if I did, it was once, maybe twice, maybe four times. I got married, I went Christmas one time, Easter one time, and I died. That's about as much church, and then they'll put it in the obituary. They were a member of New Life Christian Ministries. I look at that and I think, wow. Wow. Now, you got to be born again, because it doesn't matter what label you have on you. You know? In hell, they're going to burn off. In heaven, they're going to blow off. He doesn't care if it's Methodist, Baptist, Nazarene, Catholic, whatever. You must be born again to see the kingdom of God. I don't care what label you have on it. You must be born again. And then you know what else you need to do? You need to attend our ministry partnership class. I was going to wait and do the next one the week after Easter, but I decided I better do one after this message today so that some of you get convicted, will run to God and to the army and sign up. So on the 19th, Trina's class will be in the morning. Mine will be in the afternoon at 4 o'clock, and I'll be right here teaching it right here, Brother Steve. Yes, sorry, I was talking to Trina early. But I'm going to teach that class, and it is a ministry partnership class. It is what our church membership is about. It's about the history of our church. It's about the doctrine of our church. It's about our structure, and it's about our strategy, what we are doing on earth for heaven's sake. And after attending the class, you'll be able to make an educated choice as to whether you want New Life to be your church home and the place where you grow, love, and serve in order to reach the world for Christ. And I'm going to give you an invitation right now to not join our church. If you're going to come to church here and all you're going to do is sit on a pew every Sunday and fill up a space, you're not going to get involved, you're not going to know anybody, you're not going to serve anywhere. There are 1,000 churches out here where you can go do that. Give your spot up, go to one of them, sit down there, don't take up the space for a lost person here. Hello? Because we're building an army, we're not playing church. We're trying to get over playing church. We've done some of it down through the years, but we're trying to get over it. Now, I don't really want you to go somewhere else. I want you to get the message down in your heart and life and become a part of it. That's what I want you to do. And if you go through this class, then you'll be able to make the following commitment to be a part of the army that God's raising up here at New Life. I think there were 17, 18 people that just went on this trip to the Dominican Republic. They went down there and they're changing the world on that missions trip. We are sending these messages via Facebook page and video to 17 different countries around the world, and over 49,000 people are listening to the message. Boggles my mind to think that, but it's happening. My secretary gave me an 8.5 by 11 page the other day in staff meeting. She said, Ken, here's a list. It was a whole page. She said, these are new people that are coming to our church that aren't yet members in our church, but we're getting to know them, and we're glad that you're here, and we hope you'll be a part of signing up for the army. We're touching the world and making a difference for Christ. People are getting saved. Lives are getting changed. Marriages are getting healed. Lives are being changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. Now, we have a New Life membership covenant that once you go through the class and you decide this is going to be your church home. And by the way, some people go through our class and they get to the end of it and they say, nope, this is not really a fit for me. And that's okay. Because churches are a lot like people. They all have personalities. And we don't all fit with the same people in the same churches all the time. So if this is not a good fit for you, that's okay. But what I tell those folks is, you don't have an option not to belong to one somewhere. Go find one that's your flavor or whatever you're looking for and get in it and make sure that they preach the Bible, all of it. Not part of it, not pieces of it, not their favorite sections of it, all of it. And then I also say, and no matter where you go, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible, because you're not going to know what you're being taught unless you're reading the book yourself. All right, I got to get done. This is our membership covenant. You say, why do you have a covenant? Because we realize you will do what you commit yourself to. And we want people to make a commitment. This is the covenant. Now let me say this to you. Here at New Life, we never ask you to do anything, or we never ask anything of you that the Bible does not ask of you. And if we ever do, be kind to us, smile, wave bye-bye, and run. Okay? Having received Christ as my Lord and Savior and been baptized and being in agreement with New Life's statements, strategy, and structure, I now feel led by the Holy Spirit to unite with the New Life church family. In doing so, I commit myself to God and to the other church members to do the following. Number one, I will protect the unity of my church by acting in love toward other members. If you come here and you're hateful and mean, we can help you. By refusing to gossip. Chatter, 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 bite, 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 chatter, chatter, chatter. We can help you with that too. And by following the leaders. What do I mean by these things? Romans 14, 19, about acting in love toward each other says, so let us concentrate on the things which make for harmony, on the growth of our fellowship together. Before I became a pastor, I was a member of two other churches, and they were growing in the Lord, but I can tell you there were times when there were people there that you would have thought church was a little soap opera. That's not what church is. It's not a place where drama mama comes and lays out more drama for everybody else to have to deal with. Jesus will set you free, drama mama. No, we concentrate on the things that make for harmony. We're not here to see how, you know, upset we can make each other all the time. By refusing to gossip, the Bible said, have a sincere love for other believers. Love one another earnestly with all your heart. You know who you talk bad about behind their back? The people you don't like. That's right. Stop it. Jesus will heal you of that. We love each other. Jesus said, this is how they'll know you're my disciples, because you have love one for another. Love is merciful, and it's kind, and it's patient, and there's a whole list of things that it is. And then it says, also, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Can I just say this? If you're a Christian and you name the name of Christ, Paul said to Timothy, depart from iniquity. We don't use foul language. We don't use cuss words. We don't post it on our Facebook page. We don't post nudity and profanity, none of those things. You have to change the way you talk if you're going to be a child of God. And just in case, half of you didn't know that. That's why I said it. I know. I look at your Facebook page. You are supposed to represent Jesus Christ to everybody all the time. Well, that's a whole other hour. I get stuck here, we will be in trouble. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. We're to go around and help each other, encourage each other, and be an example. And it said, obey your leaders. Now, that isn't just the pastor. I'm not Jim Jones. I'm not David Koresh. That isn't a frontal lobotomy. You know, I'm the big kahuna, and you all do everything I tell you to do. That's not what that's about. God's kingdom is not that. But what it means is this, in Hebrews 13, 17 said, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be no advantage to you. Now, it says leaders, didn't mean just pastors. You can be the leader of Sunday school, you can be the leader of children's church, you can be the leader of the ushers, you can be the leader of the parking lot crew and the fit ministry, you can be a leader in anything. But what that's saying to the rest of us is, I'm going to translate it for you, don't be a pain in the butt to those that are trying to lead you. If you're not the leader, you're a follower. Don't go home and chitter, chatter, chatter, chatter about what everybody's doing in leadership and what you think they ought to do. If you're not the leader, just get in line. Do what you're supposed to do. Stay in your lane so that they can serve God with joy. You know how hard it is sometimes just to be a pastor, just to keep people in line. Obey your leaders. And that's what we're asking you to do. If you belong to Sunday school, obey the leaders that are leading you. If you're an usher, obey the person that's leading the usher ministry. You say, well, I'm just giving advice. Well, give it, but, you know, don't be a pain about it. Number two, I will share the responsibility of my church. I remember when this church was about 8-10 people, and people would come to me and they'd say, Pastor Ken, what are you going to do to make this church grow? And I'd go home, get on my face before God, and I'd cry, and I'd say, God, they want me to grow this church, and I don't know what to do. What am I going to do, God? How do I do this? You know what God said to me one day? He said, that's not even your job. He said, that's their job. They're going to help you. If you come to me now and say, Pastor Ken, what are we going to do to make this church grow? I'm going to give you a whole list of what I'm doing, and then I'm going to ask you, what are you doing? What are you doing? What do you do that makes a difference to help people want to come to Christ and to come to this church? I will share the responsibility of my church by praying for its growth, by inviting the unchurched to attend, and by warmly welcoming those who visit. Paul said to the church, we always thank God for you and pray for you constantly. Church, we need to pray for each other all the time. That isn't just the preacher and the deacons and the prayer warriors at the prayer meeting's responsibility. We're all supposed to be praying for each other all the time. By inviting the unchurched to attend. Remember what I said earlier about, you know, having done all to stand? You know, you can pray and cry your eyes out and say, Jesus, save my family, fill this church, pack it out with people. And you know what he's going to say to you? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to read it to you. The master said to the servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and urge the people there to come in so that my house may be full. You know what we're supposed to be doing as Christians, all of us? Every day, everyone around us, they're either on their way to heaven or they're on their way to hell. And as we have opportunity, and there's better ways to do it. There isn't any really wrong ways, there's just better ways. We're supposed to be doing everything we can to bring everybody else we can along. Every week you should be going out of here asking somebody that you run into, if you can't do anything else, do this. Be a world-class inviter. Say, would you like to come to church with me Sunday? Or would you like to come sometime to church with me at New Life Christian Ministries? You say, you don't know the people I work with. They're so hateful. I know they need God. And if you would ask them, they might come. And a lot of them will come quicker if you say this to them. I've done this a lot of them. I say, if you come, I'll take you out to lunch. Oh, don't laugh. Jesus used loaves and fishes. He said, come, give me the basket, give me the fish. Y'all come. He was from Southern Nazareth. See, church, what I'm saying is this. We miss it. Our whole lives are about reaching the people around us so that they aren't lost forever in eternity. And a lot of us just think church is, well, I come in and I hope they make me feel good and I hope I like what Pastor Ken preaches and hopefully I won't feel too much like, you know, 50 pounds of sin on a popsicle stick when I leave and I'm going to go back out and I'll just live my life and everybody around you is dying and going to hell and you ain't saying a word. That's not what it's about. We need to invite the unchurched to attend. We got a whole class that you can go and set for 2 hours, and we'll give you all kinds of tools and teach you how to do that. I'm guessing, because I know about size in here, there's probably about 230 of you in this room this morning. You know, if every one of you could find one person this week to bring back, guess what this place would look like next week? It'd be packed out. Well, they'll sit in my seat. I'll probably have to sit in the back or the front. Oh, God. Yeah, and they might find Jesus. And they might miss out on hell altogether just because you said, would you like to come sit with us at church? And then by warmly welcoming those who visit. Listen. God said, so warmly welcome each other into the church, just as Christ has warmly welcomed you, then God will be glorified. That's what the scripture says. I hope somebody this morning shook your hand. They maybe hugged you, and you know, if it's new to you, you might be like, oh, well. But you'll get used to it if you keep coming around. In fact, you'll get to where you expect it. But I hope this is one of the warmest churches you've ever been in. I've went to churches and spent an hour and a half in a church and not had a single person say a word to me. Happens more often than you think. Warmly welcome, people. We have a greeting time. It's 5 minutes long. That's it. It's 5 minutes long. I had it 10 and people complained. They said, because some of them, like, when we do greeting, they do this. 10 minutes is a long time if that's all you're doing. Some of them are going, man, I hope they don't touch me. I think them two over there is gay. Oh, you think people don't think that? Yeah, they do. But see, this ought to be the place, because there are people that come through those doors back there that nobody has smiled at sometimes in a year or two. They haven't heard a kind word. They haven't had a handshake. There are prodigal sons and daughters that grandmas and grandpas and moms and dads and uncle and aunts are praying that they'd find God. And they walk in our church, and if you don't know what you're supposed to be doing as a part of God's army, reaching out and say, hey, if all you can do is say, hey, good to have you with us this morning. Because they may be dying literally inside. And the last thing they need is some snobby religious Christian just walking right by like they ain't even there. In church, I tell them this in membership class, they can tell you. I said, we have that greeting time. Don't go to your friends and make dinner plans, and don't, you know, go and get with all your buddies. You'll have time after church to do that. Look around, because it happens in here sometimes. I see new people stand here, and some of them look like the world has come apart. And they'll be standing while we're all talking and, you know, blah, 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 running and hugging the people that we know because we're in our comfort zone. And there they stand dying inside, and nobody's paying any attention to them. That's who I try to look for during that time if I can, but I'm the pastor, and people like to hang me up, you know. Oh, pastor, I'm like, yeah, but there's a lost person back there. You're as saved as Billy Graham. I'll fool with you later. I need to get to that person that may need Christ this morning. Amen? And just think if we would all do that. Just think if we would all do that. To my knowledge, this is the first time it's happened, but 2 weeks ago, we had a lady that's a member of our church, brought a neighbor who was in her 90s, brought her up here during the altar service to be prayed for, and somehow we missed them. Yeah, I'm going to put an altar crew together soon. We missed them because they stood there. She wrote me, and she said, we were there for almost 10 minutes. She said, I was never so embarrassed in my life because nobody prayed with this person. And I know what probably happened. Those that were up here praying probably were praying with whoever they were praying with and got hung up and didn't see them. But that's not going to happen anymore. We're going to fix that. And what I thought when she wrote me, and she wasn't upset, she said, I was a little embarrassed. And I said, oh, we're going to fix that. That's not going to happen anymore. Because chances are it's probably happened to other people who didn't bother to take the time to tell me. And we got to make sure that everybody gets ministered to. There are life and death things happening every time we come to church. In people's hearts and people's lives. Just like the children's church is going to kill me now because I'm out of time and I'm going to share this. Number three, I will serve the ministry of my church by discovering my gifts and talents, by being equipped to serve my pastors, by developing a servant's heart. And the reason we ask people to do that is this. Philippians says, serve one another with the particular gifts that God has given each of you. Every one of us have gifts and abilities that we need to find a way to get plugged into this church service when we come together. That's one part. You need to do things in your daily life. But every one of you need to find some area of ministry in the church here to get plugged into and help us as the army of God reach the rest of the people that come in here. We could double this church overnight in the size. And it's not about doubling the size or the church or the numbers. It's about saving people from hell. We could double it overnight if I could get some of you men to stand up and be men and teach some children's church classes. I've been a pastor for 31 years. I probably had a half a dozen men come to me and say, Pastor Ken, I am called to be a pastor. I say, good. You're going to teach the 8-year-old boys. Oh, no, no, no. I want to come up to the pulpit. Really? Don't you ever ask me that. Don't you ever tell me that. You need to serve. And the reason I say this is this. You know what the biggest challenge is every time we go to do ministry? We need to go to another church service now. We really do, because this is a fish tank that when it gets about 2/3 full, that's about as big as it's going to get. We need to get you in one service and get you out of here so we can get those lost people into the next one. But you know what's hindering us right now? Children's church workers. When lost adults come through these doors and we need to minister the word of God to them, we can't let their little infants and children and toddlers laying all over them and crying. Not because I don't like children and I can preach over somebody puking in the middle of the aisle, trust me. But the reality is that most people can't listen. But we need people that are willing to go over there and reach those children. Our children are dying of drug overdoses and heroin. You know why? Because we're waiting until they're 18, 19, 20, and 30 to try to talk to them about God. They're little and they're here now. They're in church. We're too sorry to go over there and teach them about Jesus. And I'm sorry, I don't know any other way to say it. We are too sorry to take our time and our energy to be committed and faithful to go over and do it. So we don't reach them when we can reach them. We don't help them find Jesus when they don't even have to be touched by the darkness of the devil and lose their lives. We wait until they're, you know, until they're in rehab, and then we're going to try to convince them they need to serve Christ. It's too late. Hitler had enough sense to know you had to reach them when they were that high. That's right. Oh, well, kids ain't my thing. Oh, yeah, they are. They're people. They're people. They're souls. They are. Well, I want to teach, but I don't know where to teach. I can tell you where to teach, man. They'll sign you up today if you're a member. Amen. I got to get on my soapbox. Being equipped to serve my pastors. Wow. Don't you have that backwards, Ken? Aren't you supposed to be here to serve us? Yes, I am. The word minister means servant. Jesus said, the greatest among you shall be servant of all. But you know what? I'm not supposed to be the only servant. Everyone who names the name of Christ is supposed to be equipped and trained to serve everyone else that names the name of Christ. We're all in this army together. It says in Philippians 2:3, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who even though he was God, took on the very nature of a servant. Well, Pastor Ken, I don't know what my gifts are, my abilities are. I don't know what to do. You know, I don't know how to serve the church. Just serve. Just serve. The next time somebody says, we need somebody to just become a servant. Do anything that needs to be done. And get the training to do it. We have classes here that will train you to do certain things. And then it says, by developing a servant's heart. And then last but not least, I will support the testimony of my church by attending faithfully. There's no use to put your name on the membership roll if you're only going to show up once a month. This is an army. We are taking on the powers of hell. We need every one of you every time we come together. Do you know how many hours are wasted in the church every Lord's Day because those of us that are here have to run around and figure out how to plug the holes of those of you that just can't even bother to show up? And I'm not talking about when you're providentially hindered and there are things that keep you from here. It's just that, well, I don't think I'm going today. I don't feel like it. It's the only day I got. It's not your day. It's the Lord's day. It's not your day. You better find another day if that's your only your day. That's Bible, church. I'm telling you, read the Bible. Attend faithfully. How often's faithfully? Every time the doors are over and open, unless you're providentially hindered. Providentially hindered means it's out of your control. Why? Because there's lost men, women, boys, and girls walking through these doors. They need the testimony that we're all here, and we need to be in here serving them so that when they come here, we can reach them for Christ. And then by giving regularly. Oh, there it is, Pastor Ken. I knew you'd get to that. All you churches are out for is our money. That's not true. We want everything. If you think all we're after is your money, you haven't heard us yet. We want your time. We want your energy. We want your focus. We want your priority. We want Jesus and church to be everything to you. We kind of start there because Jesus said, if I get your pocket, then I'll have the rest of you. He said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. When you start investing your money, we'll know you're starting to get the idea that God wants it all. And then also, church member, you need to live a godly life. I tell them in membership class, I said, this is the thing. When you gave your heart to Christ, from that moment on, the Bible said that you are an ambassador for Jesus. When you tell people you're a Christian, they look at you and they say, that is what Jesus is. Only a lot of them look at a lot of us and say, yep, that's the hypocritical stuff I thought it was. But they're supposed to see Jesus in us. We are to be ambassadors and live a godly life. And when you become a member of New Life, now you're not only representing Jesus, you're representing Pastor Kenny, you're representing this brother and sister and that brother and sister, you represent New Life Christian Ministries. People are going to look at your life and say, if that's what they're like down there, I ain't never touching that place. Or they're going to look at your life and say, you know what, if that's the kind of people that are there, and there's a couple hundred of them, I might need to go check that out. That's right. I like to tell a story in membership class. It's true. When I first became a pastor, I only had a handful of people. I went to the gas station one day, Andy, and a guy across the gas pumps from me walked up to me. He says, aren't you Pastor Ken? I said, yeah. He said, don't you pastor down there at New Life? I said, I sure do. And I was like a proud pappy then. I was really young and didn't know a lot. And they said, do you know so-and-so? I believe they go to your church. I said, yes, sir, they do. And he said, do you know they cuss like a sailor? I didn't have false teeth, but if I'd have had them, they'd have hit the ground. Well, you're laughing, but you think how many times that happens. Only a lot of times the pastor don't get to find out, or they'll tell somebody else. They'll tell 10 of their friends. They won't say nothing to you about being a hypocrite, but they'll tell everybody else. Yeah, I know about them jokers down there at 12031 Hopewell Road. Yeah, they're all a bunch of hypocrites. Don't be that. You are an ambassador for the Son of God, Most High. You are to represent Him in every action, in every word, in every thought, and in every deed. Oh, Pastor Ken, nobody's perfect. No, we're not. But you don't have to be lazy, and you don't have to be carnal, and you don't have to be babyfied as a Christian all of your stinking Christian life. Grow up and be what God's called you to be. Pastor Ken, I'll need some help. Yeah, you got it. You need to be a church member. But you need to come and participate and be a part of it so that you can grow up in Christ. I tell people all the time, they say, oh, I don't know if I need church to be a Christian. I said, look, I'm a pastor. I said, I get paid to be good, and the rest of them got to be good for nothing. And I said, I got to be in church. I got to be in prayer meeting. I got to be in the Word. I got to do everything I can every time I can for me just to keep it together. You need church. You need church. Worship team, would you come to the platform? We got some people here this morning we're going to take in as members. Glory to God. I already preached this message to them. You're just getting here a second time. Or they are, I guess. And I'm going to ask some of them to come as the worship team is coming. We have something here at New Life that we call our life development process. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all men, teaching them to do everything that I commanded you and have taught you. And that's what these classes are about. They're about giving you the tools to become a mature follower of Jesus Christ. And we have a group of people who have been, there's four of them all together. The first one is this ministry partnership class where they go through and learn about what church membership is here. The second one is spiritual maturity. That's where you go and learn how to read the Bible, and how to pray and how to touch God. You know, prayer is an awesome thing, but just doing prayer doesn't make it effectual with God. In fact, if everybody that prayed about everything, God actually listened to them and heard them, everything be changed all the time. When you ask people to pray for you, you better find some people that know God and that God will actually listen to, is what I'm saying to you. But you'll learn how to do that. And then there's a third class called Unlocking Your Potential. That's a class that you can go through and you can find out what did God create me to do in the church and in my life. And then the fourth is what we call lifestyle evangelism. That's where you learn to become world-class inviters, to bring people to church so that they can hear the gospel and so that their lives can get touched and changed, so that they can grow and become disciples, and then they go back out and keep the process going. You bring them out of the world, bring them in here, train them up so you can send them back out into the world to reach others and bring them in. That's what discipleship is. Well, the following people have completed spiritual maturity, unlocking your potential, and lifestyle evangelism.